everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, thank you so much for joining in. So my name is Rashi. I'm from the Accessibility Lab. And given the time we have, I'm going to do a little overview of accessibility. I'm not sure if we'll have time for case studies, but trying to look at a few aspects of what can strengthen accessibility. And of course, I'm going to ask you, and you can also ask me some questions. So we look at promoting the digital rights of accessibility and people who have different disabilities, which we think should be vital to anybody. We look at accessibility as an ability to be able to function, someone who can operate the different devices we have access to the different versions of browsers, and not basically looking at the least path of resistance, eliminating different obstacles when transmitting, receiving, or understanding information. We also get, one of the things we also see in the open source conversation and around is a lot of people like to interchange and look at accessibility and usability as one and the same thing. But they are very different. The way we operate is very different. Although usability, we have a lot of allies in the usability space, but accessibility in hand with usability does strengthen and provide an extra level of security or privacy or any of those factors that people look at in. We also look at offering users and customers with a good user experience, because accessibility for people who have different abilities fail to consider people with different disabilities, whether it's whether you have a motor disability, you can have a visual disability, you can have a physical disability, and you can also have a disability a lot later on. I see my parents aging, and a lot of them also have disabilities with a lot of aspects in the visual world. We also know someone in our open source space who was visually challenged for a very long time. This is a slide we usually use based on who we're talking to. So we talk to private sector, we talk about how it has competitive advantage and how it can help with SEOs and positioning and compatibility. Also, depending on which region you're from, complying with legislation, because some of the legislations are pretty strong if implemented regionally. Our accessibility, we look at increasing the number of users and keeping the ones that we have, whether it's providing accessible online services, providing a sense of autonomy. So this is a project that I worked with Carries Around. So we're just going to show you some aspects of how people with different visions see it. So this is normal vision. This is someone with hematopoeia, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, glaucoma, tretinopia, protonopia, achronotopsia. This is looking at an overview of the different lawsuits that we've seen. This is data from 2022 on the lawsuits that have been sued. Class action lawsuits, so it can be from e-commerce websites where companies and services have failed to provide basic accessibility or adhere to basic accessibility guidelines. You can also see food security. You can also see education somewhere, but education should also be somewhere here. But yeah, I mean, basically, people who are challenged, most of them like to enjoy a personal, social life, to be able to access things they want, given that they have so many challenges for mobility. And websites have been, we would say, the primary target. So yes, I know that we live in an app culture, but a lot of people with disabilities like using websites. We also look at understanding our different personas. We have assistive, we work a lot on providing audits for websites, or it can be applications. And one of the reasons we were not typically in the open source realm, but the reason why we got into the open source realm, because we realized that a lot of open source teams, although they care about a lot of the social conscious aspects of accessibility, but they might not have the resources. So for example, we have a long-standing partnership with Open Technology Fund, where we provide pro bono services for applications that work on countering surveillance or looking at enhancing the privacy and security of these tools that look at censorship and look at countering it in an effective way. So this is the simulator. How many of y'all have heard of, do any of y'all use is there anyone who has an experience with accessibility here, or is there? Maybe I'd love to kind of maybe get an on-site view of.
Some of the apps in Linux are really inconsistent, right? NVDA, for example, and they use different. I don't know. It's okay. Let me rephrase. Sorry.
No, it's absolutely fine. Go ahead.
Over in macOS is just so superior than Linux, and because in Linux there is not a lot of investment happening, so I just feel like this is why I have a Mac, unfortunately, as well, because it's just so more accessible. So this is the things I think about. I used to work on the Canonical Ubuntu installer, and we just had so many accessibility issues. So yeah, in the open source ecosystem, it just feels like it needs to be invested more.
Is there anyone who uses a screen reader, or otherwise, go ahead.
Me?
Yes.